Hello, friends, and welcome to another issue of Portographic. This is issue number 45. I'm Brian Mann.
I'm Brian Mitchell.
I'm Eric Mitchell.
I'm long pausing.
It's just fun to mess with you on the intro, man.
Oh, yeah, it is. It's
every time.
It's good, dude. It's all good. It's all good. Friendly jest. So our podcast is broken into four parts.
What are those?
I don't know. This was supposed to be your part.
Oh, I know. Well, it's just fun to kind of bat it back sometimes.
Compare, share, dare.
And impaired.
Yeah.
Let's start with the impaired.
All right.
Someone's already chugged a chelada. Feeling pretty good.
You say chelada, I say chelada.
I say disgusting.
Yeah, it's delightful.
To one person only. Yeah.
So
the entire world.
I feel like that's a misrepresentation, sir.
I feel like there's like one beer at the local shop, like, and it's just got your name on it for Brian Mitchell only. Yeah.
Just when you feel like coming and getting it, it's here for you.
It's here for you. Because you don't buy like a ton of them at a time, right? You should buy like one or two.
Yeah, it's just kind of when the mood strikes me and like, oh, I need a spicy beer today.
The definition of Chileta, the first word that comes to mind is not spicy.
Well, this is the picante version, sir.
Okay. So maybe it is.
Spicy. Spicy.
Clam juice.
Mmm. Delicious.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yeah, we'll agree to disagree.
I'm sure there's like 14 sound bites I can pull up of me and Eric gagging over tasting it. Anyway.
So the compare section.
Correct.
Is where most of the folks on our pod have read the book, and we're going to compare it. It kind of speaks for itself. The share, just one of us. We're going to share it with the group.
Man, every time we do this, I'm like, just by saying the words compare, share, dare, and impair, like you would
feel like you should get it.
Like they're very intuitive.
Yeah. Well, you're the one waiting for me to give the explanation. So I'm,
I know. I'm, no. Okay. Yeah. And then dare, you know, obviously.
We're going to dare each other.
Shocking.
Yeah. And impaired. We drink beer. Yeah.
Sure.
Got it.
Okay.
All right. Now we can crack this one open.
Yeah. Speaking of impaired, our first beer of the pod.
Oh.
Had a nice.
Yeah, that was nice.
Sound to it. It's the Boulevard Smooth Fuzz Apricot Sour Ale. It is 7.2%, 8 IBUs. It says this complex beer is a melange of Belgian-style ales aged in oak barrels for up to 36 months. Tart and funky, smooth fuzz rested on whole apricots prior to bottling to infuse.
Dude, I still got to go with the smooth criminals.
I have like
juicy
four
stone
things.
Flavors, which mingle with the mixed fermentation
a little
character.
Rapey.
I just like the rested on whole apricots. All right, so.
And as delightful as it's going to be to have this, I'm sad that we're not sampling any Three Trails deliciousness tonight.
Yes.
We certainly got spoiled getting to go there and just sample all their delicious wares.
Yeah, I just saw that they posted that they're going 7 days a week here.
Oh,
now.
Nice. All right, let's see what this
smooth fuzz.
So when you think of smooth fuzz,
all I can think of is Hot Fuzz.
Oh, that's
which is one of the best movies.
Man, that's really good.
Wow. Okay.
And you know,
they do not underestimate the word sour.
And that's one of the things when I was looking at beer for tonight, and I was accidentally not getting a sour. I was like, you know, a lot of the sours we've had lately aren't really what I would call sour. They're more just kind of tart.
Mm-hmm.
This is full on sour, and it's great.
Woo.
Wow. Yeah. That,
good,
I mean, that
though.
Really gets you at the.
Yeah,
that's like the warhead.
Yes,
it's apricot warhead
or peach. Different peach.
It definitely says apricot on the bottle.
Is it? Yep. My bad.
He literally read a whole thing.
Well,
that said
I thought it was the peach fuzz. Ah, well, I was too busy laughing about the smooth criminals. Yeah, apricots. 100%. I'm a moron.
Xbox, record that.
Can I borrow the Riri McGee badge?
On to comics.
Okay.
Our first comic is...
hang on. Is it Batman?
No.
Okay.
It's Batman.
Gotcha.
Number 70. Hallelujah. No more nightmares.
Okay.
Like,
seemingly.
Yeah.
More books titled Nightmares.
Okay, fair enough. So I think we're all in agreement that we wanted some more action, some more, air quotes, real life action back in Batman, not just nightmares. This had action, but it also felt to me very lackluster. Bane still seems to have a plan, but this was just kind of a mediocre issue for me.
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand the villains just basically lining up there.
Letting him beat him up.
Here I am, and I'm just going to walk through all of you in getting out of Arkham.
I mean, I think it's by design. I felt this entire issue that there's a game afoot. Like, this is all part of the plan for Bane.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I feel like there's still a plan, but as a reader, you're kind of like, okay, well, you're just going to wade through the villains, punching them.
I mean, if you've just had a session where you've relived your nightmares, I mean, you're looking to up.
I get all that, but as a reader,
yeah, it's not exciting.
It's not exciting.
Okay.
At least to me, at least to this reader, let's say that.
Okay. Well, and it was kind of un-Batman-like, too, to be like, hey, I'm going to go get my army, and I'm going to be back. Like, when does Batman ever, like...
Call for help?
No, it's always preferably solo.
Or unless you're detective from 985 to whatever.
Sure.
Where all you do is have a team... But so I wanted to talk about the last of the Dark Knight preview at the end of this book. Did you guys actually read that?
Oh, the Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo. Yeah.
Believe you know the answer just by saying that.
You should have read it, but
I did. I don't.
You don't know about it?
I don't. Yeah.
Dude, is this where we're walking around with a Joker head lantern? And I should have read this.
I mean, that's one of the covers, I think.
Because you know how much I loved me some metal.
I don't think this is in the same vein as metal. No. This is supposed to be like the closer to the Court of Owls anthology.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely going to give it a shot because I do think... I mean, not all of that run was great, but a lot of it was. I mean, the Court of Owls, the Zero Year, and there were some really excellent arcs in there. So,
and I wholeheartedly agree with that.
I'll forgive him for metal and the Batman who laughs and stuff enough to give this a try. If this is because it's his finale, this is his final Batman story. So, we'll see what it's.
I will certainly listen to you guys do a compare and think about picking it up. I'll go that far.
Hopefully, there's still some left. When that happens. War of the Realms number 3. Ooh, this jumps around a lot.
So the humor's back in this one a little bit. Because 2 felt a little devoid of humor. Spider-Man, his crack about who goes into battle with just a shield. And looks over and there's Captain America right there. Yeah
pretty awesome. And Captain's in like a high school, Letterman's jacket with the like he's in like a jumper. Mm-hmm. He's not rocking armor.
Yeah.
He's rocking like a Christmas jumper.
Yes.
With the star in it. I thought that was funny.
The Punisher War Journal Elf Offensive. I thought that was kind of hilarious.
Yeah.
Daredevil wielding Heimdall's sword was pretty awesome.
Yeah. That was a little weird for me.
But to me, the issue just
But it makes sense. Yeah. Like his senses are so...
Yeah, and he's blind and it gives him sight. I mean, I understood it. It was just like...
To me, it was filled with a bunch of cool moments, but the issue kind of fell flat for me.
So, one of the things that you guys didn't talk about, like the whole Ebony Blade thing, you know, it was like...
The Black Bifrost, was it Bitter?
Yeah, but it's called the Ebony Blade until he does something to it, I thought, right? Maybe I'm...
Yeah, you know, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
The
sword made by Merlin or mm-hmm. whatever. I thought that was really cool. You know, and then he makes Venom his pet.
Yeah.
Some shit, which I don't know how that's going to work out for...
But I think it really is just the symbiote. Because we know they're separate right now. Mm-hmm. This is not the Eddie Brock.
No, of course not. But I mean, do you think in Venom we're going to see Venom on Venom fight?
It's possible.
It's going to happen. They're not going to miss an opportunity to do that shit.
I still really am enjoying it. For an event, I think they're doing
the art is really good.
Please don't misunderstand. I didn't not like it. Yeah. I just thought the other ones had been so up, and this one was like, all right, we kind of skipped around a bunch. There were a lot of cool moments, but it didn't feel as cohesive.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I said, for me, it jumped around a lot. Like, you're here, you're there, you're here, you're there, you're there, you're someplace else. It's like...
Bing, 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 bing.
Yeah. I was just like, whew, all right. Now, in line, like if we read them all together, I'm sure this would be...
Oh, yeah. It would just be like, all right, that's a little downtime. Now we're moving on. But by no means bad.
No.
The Berserker Rage Thor at the end was pretty awesome with his... one arm and is killing frost giants left and right.
I'm pretty sure this has already won the beer contest before we even started. I mean, we shouldn't have led with this one.
Probably,
it's pretty fantastic.
Yeah. Got a couple other good ones, though. We'll see.
Time will tell. Moving on to Deceased, number one.
So just FYI-sies.
Uh-huh.
Had I not just taken a cursory glance at the title, I would have never picked this up. The cutesy DC East just bothers us. It's not good. Not good.
Okay.
Darkseid isn't. He just gets laid out by Superman, who, by the way, let me see if I can pull it. Did anybody notice Superman's super curvy arm? Hey, the art really, was just...
I noticed that he looked very
not
old.
Good. I think. I mean, the arm just like... Mah. Does anyone else's forearm make a C? The art just really, really bothered me.
I didn't feel like the art was that bad.
His face is all jacked up. To me, the art just... It didn't get better, nor did the story. I thought it was a Batman, not a Justice League, and
it was never a Batman.
Okay. I guess I was fooled, because in taking the cursory glance, I don't see the Justice League on there. I just see Batman.
Oh, okay. Well, it was never a Batman title, like solely.
Okay.
The art didn't bother me. I just don't know how much I care about it.
Okay, here's all I have to go by.
I understand.
The two covers I see is a jacked up looking Batman, and the cover Eric's got is Batman.
I mean, I think it's primarily a Batman story, but like I don't think it was like pigeonholed into just being a Batman story.
So that's why I'm saying, had I known these
facts. I think they
facts,
just knew that this was number one and we would need to put our
your flagship character
on it. So you'll probably, issue two, you're probably going to see somebody else on the cover. I just didn't, it's okay. I don't know if it's worth.
I mean, it's only six issues.
Yeah.
So it, but I feel like we get wrangled into that trap a lot of, mm-hmm. It's only a short series. Yeah. So.
Well, I'm not getting wrangled into anything, brother. I got wrangled into $2.99. Done.
Okay.
All right, go ahead. I mean, that's just my opinion.
What did you think?
Did you like it?
Did you like it? Yeah.
I thought it was weird. And I'm not sure about it. Like, I don't know. I'm not sure how I feel about it. Like, it seems a little out there, but.
So basically, in the comic, Darkseid has the anti-life equation.
Steals Cyborg and somehow creates a technovirus.
Mm-hmm.
And when Cyborg goes back to Earth, he starts infecting people with this technovirus that basically. See, it sounds ridiculous when you say it out loud like that, but like it's a comic book, so like everything sounds ridiculous when you say it out like that. So I mean,
I don't know, it kind of sounded ridiculous in my head when I was reading it. but I get it. I mean, the premise of Gideon Falls is ridiculous if you say it out loud.
Yeah.
But yet we're all collecting that. This just didn't it didn't get me.
That's fine. Like I'm not sure about it. Like, not sure that I'm going to pick up anymore.
Yeah. See, I feel like the I'm not sure about it is your Spidey sense going off of...
I mean, maybe. It's like, I want to like this, but something is telling me don't like it. But I don't... I mean, I've made worse decisions in my life. So... DC Year of the Villain.
You know what I liked about this one?
It only costs 25 cents.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Are you going to shit all over this one, too?
Yeah. Parts of it. So,
parts of it.
Number one, I have to ask, why is Amanda Waller's ID tag strapped to a lanyard around her neck with a picture of a obviously not African-American woman? Sorry, these are the things I pick up on.
Man. So I feel like the Legion of Doom has been outplayed so many times before. So the first story I was very much not interested in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so
with you on that,
I might push back a little.
Okay,
which is surprising because
it's a Scott Snyder story. Wow, dude, you're just all over the place.
Well, I read it, and you know, even though it seems like a story I've heard before, it was actually pretty good. I mean, it feels like we've seen this with, you know, Old Man Wolverine of, hey, all the villains are ganging up and we're going to take all the heroes out. It feels like we've already been there before, but
yeah.
It actually was pretty good. And if they can keep the metal out of it, I might actually pick up more of that.
What is that going to be?
You know, I don't really know. Is that just going to go on in Justice League?
I don't know.
Maybe?
I'm not sure.
I'm not sure where that continues in.
But I didn't hate that one.
Okay. The second story, the Leviathan story.
That was the one that intrigued me the most. I like the team up of Green Arrow and Babs.
It was very interesting, and I will definitely be picking up Leviathan number one. Or Operation, whatever the hell it is. Yeah.
I put down, it's not a bad start to the story as well, and I really liked the art.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. All right. And moving on.
To the next comic? Or
yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
Because, I mean, do we even really need to talk about the third story?
Yeah.
Probably not.
Okay, no. Good.
And it's sad because it's Tyrion the Fourth, and I was hoping it would be good because... both Bendis and Snyder have
right there,
irritated me.
It says right there.
So the event continues in Justice League 25. So that would be from the first
one.
Yeah,
the Legion of Doom is Justice League 25.
So then Event Leviathan number one that comes out in June. Batman 75, we know
It's the what? Rise of Bane.
Yeah.
Or City of Bane or whatever.
And then Batman Superman number one in August. Yes. That's the third story.
Probably.
I know.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Leviathan looks cool, though. Leviathan especially looks if cool, it that if
actually, I thought the first two, I mean, Snyder B.
I mean, okay, so like the first one wasn't bad. It just it's like
it felt like you've been there before. Yeah.
Like this Leviathan thing is like
I've not seen this.
It's kind of like Arkham Knight. It's like, all right, I'm gonna give you a little. You calm down, sir. We'll get to we'll get to it in a little minute.
Say a word.
Yeah, it's the look, though. Anyway, I felt like, you know, a new villain or at least a new character that we've never seen before. Like, that's super intriguing to me. You know?
Tell you the pucker factor on that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm excited about that one. Like I said, I like the team up of Green Arrow and Batgirl, especially since Green Arrow doesn't have his own comic right now. It's kind of cool that they're throwing him in there. And then the Damian part where he's like, yeah, you know, I'm going to have to go check this out and just make sure that this Leviathan isn't Jason Todd. So just all of it sounds pretty cool.
Unnatural number 9. Oh,
okay. Are you gonna make me look?
No, I got it. I really enjoyed this one. So Leslie's trying to make peace with the demon inside of her. It doesn't really work out.
Is it a pig demon?
No,
it's a wolf demon. Dude, it's so gonna be a dare. It is so gonna be a dare.
It's a dirty comic, though.
I tried reading a little bit. I mean,
it's not dirty. See, the thing is, it's not like Faithless or whatever the hell.
Yeah, yeah. Because like, that's like a, ooh, that's like okay, a, wow, that's like for mature.
That's rated R for okay. Yeah. This is artistic nudity. If that's a thing, like
it 100% is. I mean, but you know, I'm sure there's probably deeper issues and ideas or whatever tied to this comic that I'm picking up. But what strikes me is how much this has evolved from where we started, where it was kind of like a, you know, George Orwell Animal Farm sort of thing, to, you know, running with the rebels. And now there's like an erotically charged submission to the wolf arc. Dude, tell me that's exactly what it is.
No, it's just the saying those words, you're like, why am I reading this? Then you're like,
but you know, along the way you get a big dose of what happens when fascists tell you who you can have a relationship with.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously telling you the ride story.
I don't know how you're going to wrap this story up in the next three issues, but I really hope the ending's epic and makes the journey.
Oh, I mean, you know what's going to happen. I mean, she's dead for sure. At the end of this, one way or another. That or she realizes and she submits to the wolf and fucks everybody up. I don't know.
You were saying you tried reading it on Hoopla.
Yeah, and it wasn't bad. I didn't get all the way through the first. I think I had like the first volume of it on there, and I didn't get it, not really, just because I've been busy and I haven't had a chance to read a whole lot of extra. So,
yeah.
But yeah, just
I really liked it.
Enjoying it.
I liked it a lot.
And that's a dirty cover.
Yeah. See, that just, yeah, that's a little molesty cover. I don't even know.
Dude, it was a little molesty inside.
Yeah.
Okay. The wolf is not a good entity.
That's for sure. Savage Avengers number one.
I have three words. Logan of Pabst.
Dude.
The premise of this is I don't even care. I don't even care about it. It's
literally
kind of
the most ridiculous thing you've ever
seen.
It's
a cosmic, it's going to be a cosmic Ghost Rider kind of thing where I just like,
so.
I I just like it because it's out there. It's Gary Dugan writing it, which is already a plus. The Mike Deodato Jr. Art is
it's awesome. It's pretty good art.
Like, flip through it and I don't even know how to exactly explain. Some evil cult.
Logan meets Conan the Barbarian.
Okay, yeah, I'm picking up on that.
There you go.
Throwing stars.
That's how you explain it. That's how you explain it.
Yeah. So far,
that's... calls him Logan of Pabst.
Pabst? Like Pabst Blue
Ribbon? Yes.
Okay, well, I thought you were saying past, and I was like...
No. Conan introduces himself as like Conan of Cameria, wherever he's from, and Logan responds with, I'm Logan of Pabst.
There you go.
So
metal bones don't break.
Yeah,
I like the art.
Art is awesome. I'm gonna enjoy just seeing where it goes. Like there's really no team building yet. No. This was mostly just
I want to fight
them two going at it, and
I like the old school.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, and the Punisher. So to get the Punisher to come, they dig up the graves of his dead wife and kids.
A pretty bad idea.
To make sure that he
comes. It seems like an idea of some sort. I don't know if it's a good one. So for sure,
it's
ridiculous, but so is an intergalactic motorcycle rider going in time to kill baby Thanos. So
yeah, and I think obviously, like, the deceased is pretty ridiculous too. I think it just has to strike you as to whether you
like it or
enjoy that form of ridiculousness or not. And this one I'm in for at least a few issues to see what
I'm in for at least another one to see where it goes, for sure. Marvel's Annotated number 3,
Intergalactus.
Sure.
So, did you figure out why Silver Surfer just starts attacking Galactus?
No.
Okay.
No.
Yeah. So, in reading the annotated part, I guess, you know, he gets convinced by somebody that, hey, you're on the wrong side. But the comic itself never... It's just one second he's... I'm the herald of Galactus.
He's fighting Johnny Storm, and then
suddenly he switched sides. So,
okay, yeah, I did not connect with this one the way I connected with a couple of the other ones.
The Silver Surfer art
is—it's all fucking the art is beautiful,
gorgeous.
Yeah,
it was. I thought it was insightful of how an ashamed and fearful saved population take it out on their saviors.
Part at the end, which is like what else did you want? Did you want the world to fall apart?
Yes. I thought that was pretty insightful, and I think there's truth to that.
Well, and I think
that's how, if these heroes were real, how the populace would treat them.
Oh, for sure.
It was like after 9/11, you know, everybody could get along, and then, you know, a few short months later, then everybody's back on the same political lines and infighting. Yeah.
Because we can't have... We can't have peace. We have to make our own chaos.
I like how the story is told through the reporter. Help me remember, because it's been a while between issues. Didn't he start off not being a fan of the superheroes and has come around?
Yeah, because remember his kids had that mutant in his basement?
Yeah.
And then he realized that, you know,
hey,
I can love things that aren't like me.
It's just a fantastic journey to me through the early history of Marvel Comics, you know, reimagined to a degree.
Well, and it's all really told from the perspective of an onlooker.
A Ben Urich, yeah.
Yeah. So it's not even like I'm Spider-Man or I'm Reed Richards or it's just I'm this dude.
From his perspective. Yeah. And by God, that Alex Ross art.
I mean, it's crazy.
And it lends itself. I know you and I kind of disagreed on whether he could do other time periods, and I still think he can. But this is certainly his wheelhouse. In the, you know, 50s, 60s era,
yeah,
is really like that where
golden
he
age style. Yes. Yeah.
So,
like if Alex Ross did, not that I'm complaining about Black Hammer art, but if Alex Ross did like the past Black Hammer scenes, like that, like when you read it, you'll understand what I'm talking about. But like, it would be insane.
All right, that's just a gorgeous. Yeah,
it's crazy.
Surfer. I mean,
that's crazy.
And you got, you know, Johnny Storm and the reflection in his chest, and then you can see the city up there. It's just,
yeah,
just amazing.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy good. All right, our last compare of this issue is Detective 1K3.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I mean, go ahead. Go ahead. I know what you're going to do. It's fine.
I don't know. I'm just not really like it. And I don't know how long this this person's arc is going to go. So I don't know. I don't want to say I'm about done with Detective, but if this person is going to have a long run on here, I might.
Who is it?
Tomasi. I don't know who that is. This just isn't.
So what about it didn't you like?
I don't like the reveal. I don't, that somehow it's Arkham's daughter is the knight that's doing this, and I know we're just getting smirks.
No, he can do his own thing.
I've not said a word. I've not smirked. I've not. Now I will.
I'm just not really.
Okay.
I'll still give it an issue or two and kind of find out how long the run is going to be. But if it goes much farther, I might be out for a while of Detective.
So while I don't understand who this person is or why they're like, you understand their motives, like the reasons they're doing what they're doing become clear. Because she lets Damien go and then she attacks her own force
for
fucking Damien off or fucking Damien up, you know, like I told you to stand down. Like she has some sort of moral code.
Sure.
Which she thinks Batman doesn't have. So, I mean, that's interesting. The part I really enjoyed was Batman treating Damien less like a kid and more like an equal.
Okay.
I thought that was cool because, like, he lets him, which I know when I say this word, you're going to be like, oh, really? Okay. But, like, he lets him drive the Batmobile or whatever instead of, yep, see, there it is. The sigh. Like, I just.
My eyes are tired and just rub my eyes.
Bullshit. You know, I don't know.
You like what you like, bro. The fact that I'm going to mock you unmercifully,
and then he like compliments him on his artistic skills. He's like, I forgot how good of a artist you were, or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, and then that part was cool.
That's a little weird. That's a little weird. Mm-hmm. And then you keep flipping, and it gets weirder.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's.
Yeah, I don't know.
I do.
Of course you do.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't want to drop off of Detective, but I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, we will. All right. And that's going to take us out of the compares and into the shares. I actually have shares this time.
Wow.
Wow.
Dude, it's been a while.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
I had to dig deep to find a share. Mine's going to be a while. I mean, do you want me to go last or first? Or?
Sure, I'll go first. I had the last Space Race number 4. So, you ever seen that movie with Sandra Bullock and George Clooney, Gravity?
Uh-huh.
So think of that.
Uh-huh.
And then half that's half of the issue. And then the other half of the issue is a psychiatrist visit.
Okay. So you're telling me it's something I need to rush out and get?
No.
Okay.
No.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, can I do mine next?
Sure.
It's going to be strap in. It's going to be a long one. I picked up the Batman Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Volume 3. And again, it's Tyrion the Fourth. And you had the three words.
Logan of Pabst.
Yeah, mine is, I knew better. And we'll just put that down.
Wow, that you were right. That was...
It was an epic review.
Yeah. I'm going to lump two of mine together, I guess, and just do two at a time, because both of mine, or of these two from this week, kind of had some controversy surrounding them. So my first one is Batman and the Outsiders, number one, which I was happy about. I mean, it's Brian Edward Hill again, it's basically just continuing the Karma line arc out of Detective. Good art. I enjoyed the story. I thought everything to me seemed pretty good. The creator of Black Lightning hated it. Like, to the point he's calling them out for making Black Lightning Batman's Negro.
Okay.
I didn't see... I mean, Batman is going to Black Lightning and giving him a team. I don't know how you get that from...
And you know, I haven't read much of Brian Edward Hill, but I follow him on Twitter, and from his tweets... It doesn't really strike me as a person who's going to write a comic with Batman's Negro.
No. I didn't get that feel at all.
The art's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I almost picked this up. I just, I don't know. I've been burned by extra Batman titles recently.
Yeah. So then the other one that I had was Uncanny X-Men number 17. And in this issue, or kind of at the end of the previous issue, Wolfsbane is killed. And we don't know how at the end of the last issue. So this issue is focusing on her funeral. She was one of the original, like, New Mutants, the one that obviously turns into a wolf. Maisie Williams is playing her in the New Mutants movie that is finally going to come out like next year or something like that. Now
they had a trailer last October or some shit.
Yeah, and it just keeps getting pushed back.
Yeah, but that was because the whole Fox Disney deal.
But now, I mean, it's now pushed into 2020 instead of this year. So anyway, she's killed off. We're dealing with the funeral and stuff in this. Wolverine goes after her killers, and we find out how she died, and here's where the controversy comes in of that. You know, she was in her human form when these guys attacked her and started to try to assault her. And she turned into a werewolf and, you know, started to fight back and then was like, no, you know, I'm not going to do this. And she ends up being killed. So somehow that turned into a trans issue, and people were pissed that... This was a trans killing, like she was deceiving their killer, her killers and stuff.
Because they were just looking for a little wolf tail, and
I read that and I didn't. I mean, she's a mutant. She changes into a wolf. Yeah. There's no. I get you can draw parallels from that, but
I don't want to get so political. But come on, people. I mean. Yeah, if somebody's not full on going and attacking you, you don't have to read things into everything.
Yeah, exactly, and that's what this was.
And I think we'd all agree, no one wants to have any types of phobias or singling people out and attacking them for who they are. But by the same token, you don't have to read your life story into everything that's put out, you know, whether it be a movie or TV or a comic book.
Well, and the X-Men is, comic is essentially the opposite of that. I mean, absolutely. They're all about,
you know, hey, no one understands us and everybody's out to get us.
Yeah,
and,
so, yeah. I mean, you can't tell me that the writers were out to piss anybody off with
that transphobic. Yeah.
Yeah. So I didn't understand either one of those things that kind of blew up with those issues. So
that's insane.
All right, we got to finish this before we get to the next chamber.
I have Flash 70.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Okay. And this was like, it's year one,
year
right?
Year one.
Okay. I was kind of intrigued by it.
So,
is it a three-worder?
No, it's actually not. Okay. You got to like Flash. But I really liked this. I felt it felt right. The art's really good. I didn't bring it, of course, because I'm a horrible human being. But like it's not that classic story that you know, but it's like, okay, so like the spoiler if you've never heard of Flash, because
I'm taking my headphones off now.
All right, because you still can't hear me. I don't know how that's gonna help anyway, but like his dad is convicted or accused of killing his mom, and it's usually not the case, and all that. I'm not saying that that's what the case is, but like he becomes
murdered was a case that the gave me.
I don't know. It's just the way he acquires the Speed Force. It's similar but not the same as like the TV show or like any Flash origin story you've heard. But I think what sets this book apart is how he's dealing with the acquisition of these powers, because he doesn't know if he's a good person anymore. Like, okay. He doesn't know if he's a hero
or if he deserves the powers,
because like it opens with like him in an attic
with their flowers
in his mom's house, and he's looking through her old comic books, and you know, he's like, you know, mom, what about all these old heroes, you know, all these, you know, and he's like talking about like he wishes he was that hero. And then it's like flash forward to,
I see what you did there.
I actually didn't do it. I completely didn't mean to do it, but I'm glad I did now. Fast forward. God damn it.
Are you tapping into the Speed Force, sir?
It's the title, Flash Forward. Okay. So anyway, fast forward, you know, a couple of, it's like 15 years. I don't remember exactly, but like it's
pretty speedy.
Mom's dead. Dad's in jail. He's a CSI for Central City, which that all is in line. And he gets the powers in a way. I'm not gonna, I don't want to spoil it if you know you guys are actually gonna maybe pick it up. But like, it's after that where he's kind of like, I'm not sure. Like, am I good? Am I bad? And so it's not so much Flash versus Man Shark or whatever, Trickster,
Captain Boomerang,
whatever. It's him internally dealing with the fact that
he doesn't feel worthy.
And then at the end,
the unworthy Flash,
he starts running, because that's what he does, and he teleports himself into the future, and he meets Old Man Flash. I don't think it's going to stay there, but like, I don't know. It was just, I felt like it was good.
Okay. That's good. I'm glad to hear that it maybe they're getting Flash going on the right direction.
I think they're resetting, hitting the reset button.
Cool.
Oh, and then he has an interaction with Iris, and she's like already this like hotshot reporter for the Central City News or whatever. And like, he's like socially awkward about it. So I don't know. I really liked it.
I'm going to go ahead and introduce our next beer. It's from Distill Brewery out of Normal, Illinois.
Which is pretty awesome.
Ben Folds has a fantastic song about Normal, Illinois, in case you ever want to listen to that. It's their Hawaii 5 ale. It is a blonde ale with pineapple, coconut, mango, peach, and guava. 6.4%, 13 IBUs.
How many percent?
6.4.
You're trying to kill us.
Now, I picked this one up. I thought it was a sour because it was with all the rest of the sours. I was fairly disappointed.
Hopefully when you taste it, you won't be disappointed. We're tasting. We're tasting. We're tasting. We don't have a face. Oh, we have a face now.
It was the meh face.
It's a meh.
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 It's got a lot going on.
Uh-huh.
None of it bad, but just got a lot going on. A lot going on. Exactly. That's the exact face I made. It was kind of like, what are you supposed to be? Where are we going?
All right, yeah, no, I can't no, really okay, tell
it
what,
ends
it,
dry
what and it's trying to
It's kind of like a pale there. Ale and just like subtle notes of fruit, but nothing that says, hey, I'm mango or I'm guava.
Yeah. Do you guys have any other ones or do you need me to go?
I'm fresh out.
You're fresh out. All right. Mm-hmm. I just have one more. It's the Free Comic Book Day Spider-Man comic. And if you can still go and find this one, if there's any more of these at any of the comic book stores, might want to grab this one. It's the actual start to the Absolute Carnage arc that starts in July by... Donnie Cates and Ryan Stegman, and then the second there's two short stories in it. Second one is really good. It's all it really is Peter Parker and Miles Morales arguing over whether Brooklyn or Queens has the best pizza, and then in the meantime they're fighting the Shocker. Best line out of it was.
That's exactly what I fucking thought.
Best line out of it was they're kind of getting beat up and they team up and have some teamwork and Peter says, "Man, that was just like an after school special." Oh. And Miles is like, "What's an after school special?" And Peter starts to explain it, and Miles is like, "You know what?
It's all good. Yeah, never mind.
Yeah, yeah, I'm good." So, but
it's funny.
Worth getting it just because it does start off the Absolute Carnage line.
So. Woody Harrelson in it?
No Woody.
No Woody for Woody. All right. Well, that's going to take us out of the compares and into the dares. We already have our beer. We are supporting boycott, and we're flavor bland.
Yeah, here's the sad thing, dude. It's got a bland flavor.
Oh, that's a sad.
No, it's support flavor.
I know,
boycott but bland. But I know, if you read it, if you read it right to left, instead of up and down, it's support boycott and flavor bland. It's telling you what to do.
Okay.
Maybe you.
Pretty sure that gets a 3 on Untappd.
All right. Anyway.
What did the Smooth Fuzz get?
It got a 5.
Yeah.
For sure.
So.
Thoughts? Exactly.
Yeah, dude. It like changes. It like.
It wants to be something, but it just doesn't. Get there.
It's like something that like goes up in the air and swirls around and then falls in an unknown location. You're like, you have no direction.
Like, well, there's no direction. A tropical ale, man, like some of them just really jump out at you.
You know what I want this to be? That tropical paradise or whatever from Sweetwater.
That, sure, Tropical Lover. Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
Or just the Boulevard Breckenridge Mango Pale Ale. Because, I mean, it's very fruit forward. And
well, what's that one that I had, that Tropical Kolsch?
New Belgium.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry to stall. We're not wanting to crap on your
beer.
Yeah,
we're not shitting on you. We're just like, just what does your beer want to be?
Middle of the road.
Just what does it want to be?
Roadkill.
It's trying to be
right in the middle of the road.
You're not being nice now.
Trying.
On to dares. To dares.
I caught up with all mine last week.
That's true. Oh, it's just me. Oh, it's just us. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I had Black Hammer. What the hell? Black Hammer, Volume 1 and 2. I've read through three issues of that. I don't know. Anyway, it's really good. But I have it on Hoopla. So I figured you could give Volume 1 to him.
Yeah.
So the main first part, I'm not going to ruin it for you or say much about it, but like the first part of the story is it's actually sad. Like the circumstances that these characters find themselves in is, it's almost sad because you're like, you get to see what they are and what they can be, and then you see what they have to live with in like a daily, and it's like, this is mildly depressing, saddening. I mean, I don't know what how you feel about it.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Because they're all something that they're not. I mean, they all have to pretend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the little girl is the worst. Yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Like, yeah. I can't say much more, but.
Okay. This almost wants to be a Kolsch.
What is it supposed to be? An ale?
Yeah.
It does. Yeah.
It almost wants to be a Kolsch.
Like maybe it should have been a Kolsch?
Sorry. I'm still stuck on what is this beer supposed to be?
So I had Lola XOXO, Volume 1.
From Aspen, which the only thing I know that they do is Fathom?
Yeah.
I didn't get completely through it, but it made it about halfway through it. And it was decent. It didn't totally, I'm going to go old school, grab me by the short and curlies.
Well played, sir.
but it wasn't bad. Have you actually read it yet?
I've read it.
Okay. So basically there's this terrorist attacks that kind of bring on kind of an apocalypse type setting.
Wasteland. Yeah.
Lola is a small child whenever this happens, and she's flying to New York by herself to visit grandma or something like that. Her parents stay in LA, and then this all happens. So then she's basically stuck in New York, and it fast forwards all the way up until she's an adult. I mean, she's at least a teenager, 17, 18 years
early
old.
Early 20s.
Happens to find a guy at the airport, I mean, who is nice and helps her out. And then he basically kind of becomes her adopted dad while she's stuck in New York. Her goal is to get to LA to find out if her parents are still alive or not. So that's kind of as far as I got. Basically now, like, merchants and their thugs kind of control all the trade routes and in and out of the city and how you get around the U.S.
Yeah, it's kind of like a mafia-like thing.
Yeah. So she joins up with one of these crews to try to head out to L.A. to find her parents. So, the thing that struck me the most in it and is just that, I mean, throughout the book, like the rest of, you know, all the buildings are run down and everybody else is in these raggedy clothes and stuff. And Lola still somehow looks like she stepped out of a Victoria's Secrets every, and I'm not complaining about that at all.
What I can see.
But somehow, okay.
You know, all right. Yeah.
There's,
she has a corset on.
Amazon is still functioning.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, and
she's rocking fishnets, a corset, and Daisy Dukes.
Yes. While everybody else is like, everybody else is straight out of Fallout.
Yes.
And she's
straight out of an anime.
Yeah. Yeah. So, not bad. Like I said, I didn't really have time to get through the entire thing.
Fair enough.
So,
okay.
Anything?
Okay.
And crickets.
No, I was just.
I think that's. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's it. All right, well, that's going to take us out of the dares and into the impaired section. So, I had something I wanted to share with you guys.
Okay.
So, recently, after Avengers Endgame's massive success, it's like 2.4 billion or some ridiculous number now. Marvel announced their calendar for theatrical releases from this year all the way to July of 2022. And so in July, we have Spider-Man Far From Home. And then there's an untitled Black Widow film confirmed that's going to be released May 1st, 2020.
And isn't that supposed to be a prequel?
They haven't said.
Okay. I thought there was some buzz that it was a prequel.
The rumor is that it's going to be the... what is it? The thing that they always talk about... you know, you remember it's like Bangladesh or...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What is it? Yeah, I can't remember, but...
I can't either.
I don't know why y'all are looking at me.
Well, because I feel like you were the one that said it last time.
Yeah,
You liked that they... Her and Hawkeye saying, this isn't how I remember...
It starts with a B. I don't know. Fuck.
Okay. Yeah.
It's not Bangladesh.
Bangkok.
It's not Bangkok.
I'm not in Bangkok.
Makes a hard man humble.
That may have to be the title. I mean, it needs to be up there for consideration.
It's Barcelona.
Okay.
Shang-Chi.
Are you just speaking Mandarin now, or
nope? That's one of the that's one of the ones. November 6, 2020. Black Panther 2, February 2nd, 2021.
Which would just be shocking if they didn't make another one.
Guardians Volume 3, May 7th, 2021. Doctor Strange.
Now, is that Guardians or As Guardians?
It says Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3.
Okay.
If Thor's in it, I'm okay with Thor calling Thor it as Guardians of the Galaxy with it as well. Volume 3. Yeah.
Thor is I think they've confirmed he's going to be in it. Doctor Strange 2, November 5th, 2021. This one's super interesting. The Eternals.
Oh, that's a game.
I knew that was coming.
February 18th.
Romita.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. February 18th, 2022.
They've started casting that already.
Oh, have they?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was trying to... I think Angelina Jolie is has some part in it.
So, Kevin Feige says, Eternals is one of the many, many things that we are actively beginning to have creative discussions about to see if we believe in them enough to put them on the slate. I guess you did, because you have a February 18th, 2022 release date for it. Miss Marvel... The Inhuman superhero.
Richard Madden is the other one that they've announced.
Richard Madden. Rob Stark.
Rob Stark is going to be one of the main Eternals.
And so after Miss Marvel, we'll have Captain Marvel 2. And then, so they did confirm the Disney Plus shows of Falcon and Winter Soldier, WandaVision, Hawkeye with Jeremy Renner, Loki with Tom Hiddleston, What If, which one of them is a world where Peggy Carter is given the super serum and Steve Rogers is in a robotic suit made by Howard Stark, and it will be Chris Evans and Haley Atwell reprising their roles in that episode. And then there's another Marvel show called Marvel 616, which I believe is like the main Earth in the mm-hmm. Marvel universe. They're making another Ghost Rider for Hulu, Hellstrom for Hulu, MODOK for Hulu, Howard the Duck for Hulu, which is Kevin Smith, Tigra and Dazzler.
Hey guys, I mean it just doesn't end.
Scraping the bottom there.
Hit Monkey.
Why not?
And then something called the Offenders. I don't know about some of those. I really don't know about some of those.
Just the fact that they're able to do all of that. But if you think about it,
Guardians was...
Oh, they're what?
C-list.
Q-list actor? Yeah. Q-list?
Yeah. Well, not the actors, but as far as the source material goes.
Like Drax.
And they've absolutely turned it into...
Gold.
Yeah.
All right, I have a little something.
Ooh.
Yeah, and you guys may have seen parts of this, but I found this on the interwebs.
Oh, yes, the interwebs.
What if the Avengers were made in the 90s? Who would you have cast for Captain America?
Who would I have cast for Captain America in the 90s?
Brad Pitt.
Is that who it is? Yes,
that's who it is.
Who it is.
Oh, okay. Absolutely. Well played.
All right.
Winter Soldier.
Clooney.
Keanu Reeves, maybe?
Oh, gross.
How about John Stamos?
No.
No. That's awful.
Okay, here we go.
Thank God they didn't.
Falcon?
Denzel. No, but that doesn't seem hot. Because, like, he's like a...
That's time period correct, but
I don't know because Michael B. Jordan's a kid.
Wesley Snipes. Because he already did Blade.
He did Blade.
Yeah. Fuck. Who's a predominant African American actor in the 90s besides Wesley Snipes and
Washington?
How about
Morgan Freeman?
Eddie Murphy.
Oh, I don't know about that, dude. Like Eddie Murphy's like a funny guy. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know.
Okay. Scarlet Witch.
Sandra Bullock.
Molly
Ringwald. Or Julia Roberts. Oh, dude,
that's you're thinking 80s. How about Alicia Silverstone?
Batgirl?
No, dude. Come on. All right. This one's going to get you.
Like, I would see more of her for Black Widow.
Hawkeye.
Hawkeye. Rebel.
Woody Harrelson.
I could almost get behind that.
Hold on.
All right.
I'm trying to think here.
So I almost need to show you the pictures too because...
No, because...
They're period pictures.
Then they'll give it away. Hawkeye.
Or the dude from Saved by the Bell.
Screech?
No. Zach.
I don't know.
Christian Slater.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Ant-Man.
Oh.
This might be the worst casting.
Ant-Man. I don't even know. Ant-Man. Because Paul Rudd is one of a kind.
Yeah. So I was trying to think of comedians. Like someone, because Paul Rudd, more
comedic. Yeah, he's more of a comedian.
Like Adam Sandler or something ridiculous like that.
All right, who is it?
Matthew Broderick.
Oh, fuck.
I could
see him for Loki.
I don't know.
Nah, I don't know. Okay.
I like him, though.
Iron Man. This would be controversial.
Is it Kanunu?
No.
Iron Man, Tony Stark.
Ed, drug-infused, depreciated Robert Downey Jr.?
Now, that would have been awesome, too.
Because yeah, we could get, you know, like Kiss Kiss Bang Bang Robert Downey Jr.?
I need to watch that again.
That's a pretty good movie.
I don't really
know. Val Kilmer?
How about Tom Cruise?
No.
All right. Spider-Man. Spider-Man.
Is it adult Spider-Man or kid Spider-Man?
At this point, it would be kid Spider-Man. It would be what's eating Gilbert Grape Spider-Man.
Oh, Leo?
Leo it is.
See, I would have went like, who, the kid from like Home Alone?
Oh, Macaulay Culkin.
Black Widow.
See, I would have said Alicia Silverstone, but Angelina Jolie, I'm going to guess.
Would have probably been better than what they picked.
Oh, Christ.
Mila Jovovich.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
No.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's an actual speaking part. Black Panther.
Oh, it's got to be Denzel. Or is it Wesley Snipes?
Yeah, it's Denzel.
Yeah.
And I could get behind that.
Yeah.
Could get behind
I can still
that.
Get behind it now. Have old man T'Challa.
Yeah. Oh.
Denzel.
Shit, yes. Disney, I hope you're listening.
Call
man,
me.
I could get behind that.
Yeah.
Vision. I'm almost okay with this choice.
Dude, Paul Bettany's really good, though.
He really is.
Jim Carrey?
Well, I could have got behind that, too. Because Jim
Mark
Carrey
Hamill?
Can do... yeah, both those are good choices. How about Ethan Hawke?
No. Fuck no.
I think he could pull it off. Training Day.
You know what I would have done? He should have been Hawkeye.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. If you want to.
War Machine. This will be controversial.
Is it a white guy or a black
guy? That's going to run out of 90s.
Still Don Cheadle?
Actor.
Cool. You got to think, dude, these are the popular 90s people.
Yeah.
All right, Thor. Thor, this one's going to be good. This is good.
Thor.
This is good.
We talking skinny
think
Thor
Nordic.
Or fat Thor?
Think Nordic.
Think Nordic.
Wow.
Think Nordic think 90s. I have no fucking clue.
Dolph Lundgren. God. I think they forgot that these actors need to act.
I don't know. Keep it going. Keep right. it going.
Hulk.
Sylvester Stallone.
Or yeah, or Arnold. Or
give me David Duchovny.
What the fuck? Star-Lord. David Duchovny as Star-Lord.
Possibly.
He's better than fucking Hulk.
Doctor Strange.
David Duchovny.
I believe he's already been used, sir.
Makes more sense.
Jim Carrey.
Keanu Reeves.
No. God, no. God, what the hell?
All right. Nick Fury? Oh,
Blacker. Well, there weren't. There were,
Keith
God damn.
I don't even think.
Next, you're going to say Stephen Lang.
I don't
Lang.
Even think. They didn't have a black Nick Fury at that point
no,
in
no.
the 90s. He was still the
he was still
a white,
white
dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Loki. I can get behind this one.
Oh, no. Hold on. Loki.
Well, this would be like the Jim Carrey or something. Or
Ooh. Gene Hackman.
Ooh. I love Gene Hackman. I don't know that fits, but
Odin, maybe.
Yeah, there you go. An even grumpier Odin.
Ooh. Kevin Spacey.
Ooh, he is not on this list. How about Gary Oldman?
Okay. Yeah, maybe Malekith. Maybe more
Thanos.
Fuck.
Still Josh Brolin.
Sylvester Stallone.
Yes, still Josh Brolin. Yes, I agree with you, sir. Not Ron Perlman.
Hellboy. That's Hellboy.
All right, we're almost there. Star-Lord.
Somebody who we haven't named yet. I got it right. Star-Lord. Brendan Fraser.
Jesus Christ, dude. Are you kidding me?
Nice.
I was trying to think of who is a shitty actor from action films, and I was like, The Mummy, Brendan Fraser. Yeah.
I almost threw that out, so I'm glad I didn't. Gamora. This one's pretty, you can pick this one pretty easy.
Gamora. Is it an actress like Zoe Saldana?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I said Sandra Bullock earlier. I think she still could work for...
I could see that. I mean, it's kind of out of her wheelhouse, but I bet she could pull it off.
I don't know. Oprah Winfrey.
Oh, okay. Halle Berry.
Swordfish.
All right, this one's gonna be tough.
Yeah.
Nebula.
Is it an actress like?
It's an actress, yes.
But is it like Karen Gillan? Is she white?
Wow.
That's what I asked about Zoe Saldana.
Does she have an Asian nose?
Oh, come on, dude.
Yes, she's white. Doesn't really matter because she'll be blue, but...
Right, but the person who plays her in the movies is Karen Gillan. Dude, I don't know who would be...
Show me Demi Moore.
No. Fuck no, dude. Black Widow for that one, maybe.
This might work.
Okay.
Rocket Raccoon.
So it's a voice actor. I want Mark Hamill, but...
It's not a voice actor. It's an actor. I mean, sorry, that sounded...
I understand what you mean.
But it's a full-on...
And Bradley Cooper is an actor.
Right.
He's not a voice actor.
It's not somebody who primarily does voice actor.
I don't know, man.
And this might actually work.
Who is it?
Joe Pesci.
Maybe. It'd be interesting for sure.
I could almost see that. All right. Drax.
Do you know who I want as I want Clint Eastwood as Rocket Raccoon. Just...
Oh, that would be kind of funny. Just to have him
just be old curmudgeon-y.
Old man Rocket.
Old man Rocket. Marvel, call us. Drax. What'd you say?
Drax.
Oh, needs this to be a 90s wrestler.
Oh, this is easy. Stone Cold Steve Austin. No.
Hulk Hogan.
Arnold Schwarzenegger. No,
come on, dude.
Needed to be a wrestler.
It needed to be a wrestler. Right. Not
this
a,
one, this
not
one
a,
is so far
not
out.
Not a dude who fucks his maid.
Mantis.
Mantis. I don't know. Some Asian chick.
Or
Michelle.
Or Winona Ryder.
What the fuck?
Well, these were all the popular actors and actresses.
You know who they should have done for that? The chick that was in Tomorrow Never Dies with Pierce Brosnan. Michelle Wee or whatever.
It's been a minute.
All right. Well, fine.
I love me some Bond films, but those are... not the ones I gravitate to as much.
That's fine.
Anyway, I just a silly little... But
is that all of them?
Yeah, it's all of them. I just, in looking at that, that's just ridiculous. And thank God we got actors and actresses that, you know, for 10 years we've celebrated in those roles. And
they didn't just go for... Because there we're looking at who are the most popular people of the time. Because
we didn't know any of these people.
They didn't pull those people. Like, I mean... Chris Pratt was on Parks and Rec before becoming Star-Lord.
He did a couple of other things, but he wasn't famous.
I just discovered him. I watched, and if you haven't seen it, it's awful, but you still need to see it. Movie 43.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's a scene in there, and I was like, oh, that's Star-Lord. Oh, I cannot believe Star-Lord is in that scene because it is like Airplane or Kentucky Fried Movie. It's all just like little short, awful, awful snippets.
Dude, Airplane is hilarious. You're Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. No, I'm not.
or Kentucky Fried Movie where, who was it? The linebacker from the Chiefs steps in.
We're going to move on to our last beer of the pod. It's the 2019 version of the Tech Nine Booloo,
which we had like three episodes ago, but we don't care.
No, we didn't. Actually, I brought it.
Mistakes were made.
Fist bump over the table, sir. You just realized yours way quicker than I did.
So anyway, if you could recast one member, who would it be?
Of Avengers?
Yeah. Like if you could recast...
They're all so good.
Well, I know.
And I think we had a discussion about that several pods ago of, you know, would you want to see another Captain America movie without? Or would you want to see a Doctor Strange movie without? Or, you know, the people who have just pretty much made that their role. I don't know that... Usually in a movie with an ensemble cast like that, there's somebody I'm like, oh, I could do without you. I don't know that I can nail anybody right off the top of my head that I could do without.
Yeah, I'm kind of struggling to think of an actor that I really would prefer to see. I don't know. That's tough.
I know, but isn't that the beauty of it?
I mean, who have they not pulled in to...
Well, it's not even about...
Who's done a crappy job with their role, and I don't feel like any of them have. Mm-mm. Maybe... That's not even a character I care about. The Quicksilver? I didn't love him, but I mean, it's such an ancillary character.
Well, I think it's because Evan Peters is just so much better at it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
From the X-Men. X-Men.
Yeah.
The only one that came to mind immediately when I was thinking about this was the Mickey Rourke, who played Whiplash in Iron Man 2.
Oh, we're going back that far.
Any Marvel movie.
Okay, I thought we were just Avengers. Okay.
Oh, no. Yeah, we're going back.
In the Wayback Machine.
Like anybody. Like, who would you recast?
I thought...
Mickey Rourke's...
I thought Ben Kingsley was misused as the Mandarin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think... As much as I like, what's his name? Oh, was it Guy Pearce as
the actual Mandarin?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't love him, and I love him in everything. That movie, of all the Iron Men.
Really? Because I liked it way more than Iron Man 2.
I don't know. Those two... And maybe it was the bait and switch because Ben Kingsley is a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah.
And just playing kind of a drunk, senile old man, I was like, it feels like you're misused.
He was just like a drugged out stage actor.
Yeah.
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 I don't know. It's funny that we're only thinking of the Iron Man movies.
What?
Because I said Whiplash, and you said Ben Kingsley.
But I also did Quicksilver before that.
Yeah.
I didn't particularly like the guy that played Ronan. And maybe it was just the makeup that they gave him or something.
That's
like,
Lee Pace, I believe.
Yeah, sounds right.
Because it's the same dude in Guardians as it is in Captain Marvel, mm-hmm. right?
But it felt like he was the straight man to the joke. It's a dance off, bro.
Did pull you out a little bit of Captain Marvel?
I haven't seen Captain Marvel.
I haven't seen it either.
Okay. Wow.
By the time I went to see it, there was another movie to see called Avengers Endgame.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And plus, it turns out I didn't need to see it because there was nothing in Captain Marvel that was story relevant to Avengers Endgame.
That's how Nick Fury loses his eye, dude.
Dude, does it matter that he lost his eye? He still lost it somehow. Wasn't it like a cat or something that did it?
Oh, I'm not going to spoil it.
All right.
It's like, I'm going to make you watch it.
Oh, I'm going to watch it. It's just...
Yeah, that's...
Avengers Endgame. Hey,
you just were solidifying that Smooth Fuzz was winning.
You don't like the Bulu?
It's the all right.
Or whatever the hell it's called. The Tech Nine beer?
It's a little too fruity. I think that the actual point of this exercise is how good the casting is.
Yeah.
And how good all those actors and actresses are to where we can't, like, I would have put this person in.
Yeah, if you're having to go back to Whiplash to find something to to complain about, then...
And you're not wrong. I mean, Whiplash wasn't great.
No.
But when I think about Cumberbatch as Doctor Strange...
Yeah.
Dude, you're making me look silly in front of the wizard.
it's all so, like, I don't know, like,
I couldn't think of another Iron Man. I could not think of
dude RDJ is so awesome.
The best actor you could think of
for what,
for just anything, just across the board. I plug him in there, and I still,
like,
don't
who
think
do they, I think like so if you take like the best actor right now,
I mean, of the top actors, who
currently
who pulls off Iron Man better than RDJ?
I mean, nobody.
I mean, I think Patrick Stewart's amazing. I think John Malkovich is amazing.
They're all old dudes now.
I get it, but I know it's not. But even if they were in their prime, I don't think Malkovich pulls that off with that arrogance and the cockiness and the just fits that character perfectly.
Yeah.
It's really funny. They, I saw on YouTube, they were doing, they had like some of the, parts of his, they had released some of the, RDJ, like audition tapes for Iron Man.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
And, it's interesting because at that point, he doesn't have that, like, zinger quality.
Yeah.
Like, he's trying to play it serious. And I'm like, dude, how much of that was fucking Favreau being like, nah, man, we got to punch it up. Like, we gotta punch it up.
And that dude is gutter in PCU.
Yeah, I know.
Which just cracks me up.
And now he's doing crazy things.
Doing the Lord's work, sir.
Doing the Lord's work.
But, you know, I think
talking to his Tony Stark's daughter about hamburgers.
All right, so think about this. I mean, like, I don't know that I ever thought McConaughey was a super serious actor until I saw True Detective season one.
Yeah,
and then, you know, was it Million Dollar? What was the frack?
Oh, I know what you're thinking of.
You still talking about McConaughey?
Dallas Buyers Club.
Yeah.
Okay. Where I mean, he
that's Jared Leto too, isn't it?
Yes. Put some acting chops out there. I still don't think he pulls off Iron Man. Where you talk about somebody who's kind of age appropriate for the role.
Yeah, I mean.
And that's why I think, I mean, Marvel, good luck growing the next crop of new folks. And I mean, you've got the template. You certainly can do it.
It's gonna have to be unknown people.
I really think you're right. And there's plenty of good unknown actors and actresses out there that can step in these roles. I mean, they've proved it time and time again.
And that's what they need to do.
What was T'Challa in before Black Panther?
Chadwick Boseman.
I mean, now he's in a bunch of stuff that looks remarkably like Black Panther, but
like that Joe, what is the,
I don't know, it was some Netflix show, and I'm like, that looks remarkably like the role you just played, but.
Oh, well, there's a new movie. It's, he's like a cop or something like that. And it's done by the Russo brothers as well. So, I don't know. Dude, I'm trying to think, man.
I don't think they have to replace anybody anytime soon. I mean, you've lost Chris Evans and Robert Downey Jr., but that's
don't you feel like you can still back up the Brinks truck to their house and be like, we're unloading some gold bullion here. I'm going to need you to reprise your role for this cameo.
I mean, I just said, like, they're doing a what if episode and it's going to be Chris Evans. And I mean, you know.
Why would I think you? RDJ should still, like, if in the future they do ever recast it and there is a different actor playing Iron Man, he still needs to be the AI. Like, he needs to be the...
He needs to be part of it. Yeah. And I think Blasphemy was just spoken when you say recast it. But yes, I know what you're saying.
See, now, here's what I would say. Like, if they ever did some sort of, like, prequel, and you could find, like, arrogant Tony before he was Iron Man, like, or something like that, like, I think that'd be okay to for him to come back as, but, like,
I don't know, he just it's the mix of I'm just kind of a pompous a-hole, but when I meet my dad, I'm thunderstruck. I'm just like, it's like he almost turned into a little kid, and I mean that's pretty impressive,
dude. It's crazy. He's crazy good.
Well, I there are snippets of the movie that I enjoy. I think the overall movie isn't great, but I started watching Tropic Thunder again just to see him play an Australian actor who goes through a pigment operation to become a black man for a movie, and it's pretty funny.
It's a good. I like it. I mean,
I think it's really funny.
Yeah. Ben Stiller is awesome in that as well. You never
go full retard.
And they kill that panda.
No.
it's really funny. Jack Black's in it too, isn't he?
Yeah, it's Jack Black. It's to like me is good in small doses.
Tenacious D.
That's the dose that I like. Yes.
Let's see. But yeah, I feel like if you look at all of the casting over the 10 years, like, dude, there's not a person I would change.
I can't weigh in because I haven't seen the movie.
What do you mean?
Apparently Brie Larson is just a horrible human being. By all accounts.
I haven't heard anything of that. So
I don't know. Just saw a bunch from like castmates and I don't know. I haven't seen the movie, so I can't weigh in. But
I just saw a video of her just like totally geeking out that she met Stan Lee, like they're on the set of it, which you guys haven't seen his part in it, but you can tell she's just like completely awestruck that she's meeting Stan. So
I don't know about her, but I watched The Room. It's a freaky movie. So
I haven't seen that.
She won an Oscar for it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's weird. It's not great. It's depressing.
Okay.
All right. So what do we think for Beer of the Pod?
I believe it is not
smooth
even
fuzz.
A,
yeah. Smooth fuzz.
Yeah. Some smooth fuzz.
That was looking good stuff.
Not clean shaven. Smooth fuzz. Smooth. I waited.
Smooth criminals.
I waited an hour and a half to bring that a joke. All right.
All right.
So Smooth Fuzz is the beer of the pod. You can find us at Pornographic PC on Twitter, Pornographic Podcast on Facebook, Pornographic on SoundCloud. Like, subscribe, comment, enjoy. You ready?
I've been ready.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay.
Hashtag break free.